Ready for module 10. How about you?
I'm very good, Andre. How are you?
Oh, same.
How to enlighten the subconscious mind and the negative beliefs we may have. This is actually quite a popular subject because there's a lot of literature that was published in the past, a lot of research was conducted when it comes to beliefs. And I mean, we even have famous quotes like from Henry Ford, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you are right. And there are so many courses and authors that try to guide us through removing limiting beliefs and installing more positive ones that could bring, that will bring actually, if you do the process, you will bring a lot of change in your life inside out. And the issue, in a way, is that it's not a very fast process because we are creatures of habitual thinking. And when we are dealt with the same reflection of reality, let's say we don't have a great financial situation, it's easy to have thoughts, to have emotions, to have beliefs that money is difficult, that money is, so to say, in an abundance of lack. I mean, money is lacking. And if we look at most of society, I mean, it's easy to get beliefs from them because they're trying to express their own thoughts and beliefs. And sometimes we end up believing them. And it's not easy for many people without some formulas to address limiting beliefs and to enlighten more of the shadow they have. And that's why I'm putting together some formulas and some action steps that you have to take, because I haven't met one person that was fully enlightened. Never met one. I met people that could perform miracles, but they still had some limiting beliefs. So I believe that the goal of becoming fully enlightened is possible in our lifetime. I never met one clear example of a person who achieved it. You may think of Jesus, but I believe that Jesus was not perfect either. I mean, he was in a very high state of consciousness. He was able to perform many miracles. He was able to be at a super high level. However, he was still nailed to the cross. He was still punished. He still had some negative reflections that he chose, conscious. He made a conscious choice to go through this experience, to be remembered. But I don't believe he was perfect. I don't believe Buddha was perfect. I heard of someone who fully disappeared. He took his body, his physical body, from Asian arts when he passed into the other realm, into the spiritual realm. But I cannot tell if that person was 100% enlightened. I'm not sure. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. So it's only by rumors. And you have to consider that it's not only beliefs, because in a way, energy is more relevant to the present. Beliefs are definitions we hold by habit, by logic. And of course, if you can change your beliefs, you can change emotions. However, we still have habitual emotions. So, for example, somebody is rich and somebody makes a lot of money. He can still have the experience of feeling some negative emotions and then believing like, look, what if I lose all my money? What if something bad happens to me? And he may enter paranoia. I heard of cases like that. And he could actually create a reality where this happens. So it's still a matter of being present, of dealing with relevancy, because we have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of beliefs. I haven't really counted, but like I said, beliefs are definitions and thoughts and ideas that we have towards specific areas of life, towards other people, and maybe most important when it comes to us, identity beliefs. Who we are, what can we do, what we can do. And it's more important and it's more effective to deal by relevancy, because it's not a good idea to try to handle everything at once. Look at your excitement. What is it that you want to have in your life? Maybe you want more money, because that's a big goal society has nowadays. Look at your relationship with money. See your worthiness when it comes to money. Are you worthy of more money or not? And it's important to have honesty. What do you truly think, not what you want to think? Don't fool yourself. Truth is very important. That's why we have the expression holy truth, which is sacred, which is very spiritual. Truth is a path to God. God is in ultimate truth. So let's dwell upon that. What is your relationship with money? Do you think money comes pretty easy or pretty hard? Do you think you are worthy of money or not? Of more money? Can you be objective? Can you seek the ultimate truth? I'm not saying have a belief that is very, very hard to believe. Just brainwash yourself with that. Like, I am worthy of billions of dollars coming to me from the sky. It will most likely not work. That's not how it goes. That's not a good idea. Look at emotions. Look at abundance. What is the experience you want to have with that money? Because money in itself is not a great objective, if you ask me. We wanted money in the first place to be able to purchase experiences, to be able to have safety and comfort in our life, to be able to support our dear ones. So look for the experience of abundance and look at the beliefs you currently hold and introspect, analyze what are better definitions that will make things simple. Because there may be areas where it's challenging. For example, some people deal with health issues that are complicated. I've tried myself in the past when I was dealing with complicated issues to just brainwash myself into, I am healthy 100%, that's it, I'm healthy now. It didn't work for me. I had to take a, so to say, slow approach. I believe that my immune system is perfect. I believe that God created a perfect body for me. I believe that the food I'm eating is healing me. I believe that the water I'm drinking is nurturing my body. Slowly, slowly, you build up on a positive belief system. Of course, if you have the comfort, it's perfectly great to have a faster approach. But it's much more important to take this process with honesty. Don't just think that if you fool your mind, you can fool your subconscious. Look at your inner state. Look at your emotion. Emotions don't lie. They tell the truth. How do you feel about money? Are you relaxed? Are you excited? Do you have passion? Do you believe that money is fair for you? Look at emotions. And from emotions, you can discover the true definitions. Once you slowly adjust the definition, because it's all relative, it's all neutral, you can move towards positivity. You can move towards what you prefer. Same with health. How do you feel about health? Same with love. How do you feel about your love life? How do you feel about your social life? This is a way that will make it easier and simpler to make you be honest and uncover the true beliefs that you're holding on. Some people have an approach of just repeating some mantras and making it in a way where they just want to brainwash themselves. But in a way, I didn't found it so effective when it came to specific things. I found it effective when it came to general things. For example, myself, I have repeated for years, almost every day, I can achieve anything I want. The whole world of opportunity is open to me. So I just said that, I just said that, I just said that, day in, day out, morning and evening. I believed it, you know, highway. I still have some small doubts when it came to some specific things. But the more I said it, because it was general, because it was empowering, I have installed it more and more in my conscious and unconscious mind. Something like that can work if it's general. However, when it comes to specific things, I believe I'm worthy of an Alfa Romeo. At some point, maybe it's not the best idea. Because who knows, maybe your next car, you'll want it to be a Bentley or a Ferrari. So don't cut yourself short. And I'm asking, is that car, in a way, your life meaning? What is the most important for you when it comes to your life? And even when it comes to transcending your life, after your life. This is how we can get some affirmations that contain powerful beliefs that you may want to repeat day in, day out, like mantras. I mean, it can work. I mean, it worked for me in some ways for people that don't have a lot of time, because I used to be pretty busy as well in the past. So look at the things you want and discover some powerful beliefs, some powerful affirmations that can work long term, and you can repeat them habitually with emotion. It's best to say them loud when you repeat them, not only in your thought, not only read them by your mind, but also say them loudly with passion. And in time, you'll have them more and more installed in your consciousness. That's one way to approach it. And I recommend it for people, like I said, that don't have a lot of time. And make a list that I recommend to not be longer than 10. You can have 2, 3, 4, up to maximum 10. That's what I would advise. Put them in order of excitement. Put them in order of importance to you. Put them in order of life's meaning to you. And make sure you repeat them. Another approach that I'm doing, which actually takes a lot of meditation for those who want to invest more time and energy into their own energy, into their own spirit, into the process of manifestation itself, is to observe thoughts. Observe thoughts. What thoughts are you having? You can ask yourself this question. What I may have to believe to receive the thought I'm receiving right now? And you can uncover beliefs. Even higher than that, if you are able to stay without thoughts, if you are able to steal your mind, look at emotions. And I gave you the questions already. I like to repeat it because it's very important. What would I have to believe to feel the way I'm feeling right now? And observe the beliefs. You'll find answers. Be honest. Honesty is very, very important. Clarity. And look for resistance. Look for resistance. Many times the problem with manifestation is not that you're not wanting bad enough what you're wanting. Most of the times, it's the resistance you still have in you that is blocking the receiving part, is blocking the reflection. So look for resistance. For example, with the belief, the affirmation I told you, I can achieve anything I want. The whole world of opportunity is open to me. I'm sure many people will agree to that when it comes to that. However, there may still be some resistance. Look for that. Introspect. Observe. What emotions are there? Are there any thoughts related to that? And look for a broader definitions that causes that. That's your belief. Maybe some will think, yeah, I can do that, but it's a lot of work. That's a belief. If you think there will be a lot of work, yes, there will be a lot of work. If you think there will be passion and journey and excitement, there will be passion and journey and excitement and adventure. To some, yes, but it's still work. Yeah, but I'm having fun. I'm doing it and I'm having fun. Because we came in this life to have the full experience, not only the end result, to become masters in manifestation. So observe the beliefs that don't serve you. Because they don't serve you, they are perhaps limiting you. Come up with beliefs that fully support. What would make this simple? What would make this exciting? What would make this full of passion? What would make this fun? What would make this so I have a very enjoyable experience? See what you can come up with. When you can ask a question, you contain the answer within. Just allow it some timing and you will see for yourself. So you deal with limiting beliefs by prioritizing. Look at what is exciting you and look at what is holding you back. Look at the resistance. Deal with it. Because it is part of your complete vibration. And the reflection of the universe, the physical experience you are having, is made from your full consciousness. It's made from your full vibration. Does that make sense so far?
Yes, I think so.
That's great. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. So, what exactly is keeping us away from getting to an enlightened state of being? Is it only us and our, let's say, false beliefs that prevent us from achieving enlightenment? Or are there any other external factors that are getting into our way, like the people around us, the place where we live, or the things that we do on a daily basis? Do they play a role in this?
Can you please repeat the beginning of the question again? I'm not sure I understand.
What exactly is keeping us away from getting to an enlightened state of being?
So what is preventing us from getting into an enlightened state?
Yes. Only us and our beliefs, or are other factors, like external factors, are getting into our way?
We are still in an evolving phase. So it's actually evolution. We are as evolved as we are. And through evolution, we uncover our hidden abilities that we have a blueprint already in our spirit, in our DNA, where we can perform miracles, where we can probably extend life to a point where we no longer have to die. So it's still part of the evolution of energy being more and more important than matter. Because matter vibrates a bit lower. Energy has a higher vibration. So through energy, we fully transform our body. We develop new functions that are already in the blueprint. So it's not something specific that blocks us. It's the whole path to enlightenment that we actually seek to have as humans, as a species, because on the other side, we are infinite. It is the journey. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Do you have any other questions that maybe with something that I haven't answered?
I was only wondering if the people around us can influence our beliefs and the process of getting to enlightenment.
Yeah, of course, people can influence it. I mean, if you allow them to. I mean, if you surround yourself with negative people, it's quite probable that you allow also negative beliefs, negative emotions to enter your consciousness, especially when you don't have a lot of clarity over your subconscious, over your present state. And when you agree to somebody, somebody may say like, look, money is hard to get. And you say, yes, yes, it's hard to get. Guess what? You are, in a way, influenced by that. Or some people may say like, look, true love doesn't really exist. Of course, you may be influenced by that. I'm not saying right now to just ignore everybody and retreat into a mountain, although there are some people that do that, their search of enlightenment. I'm saying find balance and discover also joy in solitude, where you are able to stay with yourself and you enjoy your company, you enjoy yourself, and you build up strength in your vibration. Because life doesn't throw at us things that are not relevant. You have choice as well. So yeah, sometimes some people may come into our life that we don't understand why. Maybe there are some lessons to learn from them. Maybe the lesson can be to know how to let go of them. This is a bit extreme, but this could be a lesson. Or maybe the lesson could be to learn how to accept them as they are and not get influenced by the limiting beliefs they have, and still learn how to appreciate them, still learn how to see them for how they truly are, from spirit to soul and then to physical person. So it's all relative in a way, but ultimately it's you who determines what should happen for you. You have that power. If you decide someone is not right for you, you can let them go gently, kindly, politely, in a transparent way. Or you could be true to yourself. You can say, look, this is something that I love about you. I don't agree with this part. I don't care. I don't mind it. But don't insist with that. This is something that I don't prefer. I still love you for these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. More questions, please.
So when I heard about today's module about the subconscious, I couldn't help but think about the shadow self and shadow work. Could you talk a little bit about that, Ciprian, and tell us your opinion on it?
Of course. So in a way, shadow is referred to, maybe a bit dramatic, as to the limiting side, the side that you haven't fully uncovered. That's why the shadow, because it's something where I'm sure you heard about the expression skeletons in the drawer, right? So it's something like that, where you don't want to look yet because you're afraid. That's why it's a shadow. But only thing you will discover in the shadow is more light, because light is the ultimate truth. We are light. We are made of light. So let's say you have some negativity in one area. Maybe when it comes to love, like you don't believe deeply within that you are worthy of unconditional love and that you will find unconditional love. This is something you may call shadow, because it's a layer where you don't fully accept yourself for who you are, and you don't really believe that you have the power to create what you prefer. The moment you analyze, the moment you observe, the moment you see with more clarity those emotions and approach it with honesty, approach it with objectivity, seek the ultimate truth, you'll make a lot of progress until eventually you can fully enlighten that area. And there was a great book, Day Before, with many exercises. That's the name of the author. And it was about shadow. And basically, she said, and I fully agree, I can testify that it works. Whenever you clear out the shadow and bring light, there are also gifts that are coming. So that's the irony. In the shadow, you find gifts. You discover more of your true potential. And your true potential is unlimited. We are created after the image of God. In a way, we are part of God that is dreaming it is not. So we truly have access to unlimited power. We truly have access to unlimited light, to unlimited love, to infinite. So shadow, yeah, it may be somehow a scary word for some, because yeah, shadow, negativity, woo, and we have so many movies that influence us, that have produced maybe lasting images and emotions within us, or stories, but it's not really something to fear. It's just something that when you look, when you investigate, you will just discover more and more of yourself. It's just there to be able to keep some secrets, so to say, until you are ready to discover them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And do you think shadow work exercises could help us achieve inner peace?
Well, it's all about accepting your duality. That's the basis of it. It's all about accepting I am rich, I am poor, kind of thing. I am love, I'm not love. So if you can accept yourself in the worst of times and understand this is something temporary, that's it, basically. You don't need to do much more work. When you accept your limitations, you can go beyond them. Because this is something temporary, not permanent. We are growing, we are developing, we are evolving. Does that make sense? Do you want further information?
No, I think that's enough. Thank you. I was really curious about this shadow work. So thank you.
Like I said, it's almost like a marketing trick here. Because we think of shadow, we think about the dark side. And it looks scary to us. And it can trigger fear. But fear itself, it's false expectation appearing real. Just a perception. There's nothing really to fear. It's just a messenger, in a way, that tells you, look, there is some beliefs or one belief that is misaligned with what you truly prefer. And of course, it's a messenger that comes with bigger message. I mean, if you keep fearing it, if you keep having negative emotion toward it, a negative belief, you know, reflection comes more and more into your life. If you're like really frowning at the mirror, of course, the mirror will really frown at you more and more. But that's because you have free will. And if you want to experience that, why not? God gives you the right, of course, to see how it is, to compare what you prefer, you smiling or you frowning. You have total freedom. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great. More questions, please.
Because you are talking about the dark side or the bad side of ourselves, many people have a continuous battle with their ego or arrogance. How can we manage our ego?
Well, we are usually dealing with one word, but in fact, we have physical ego, we have spiritual ego, we have positive ego, and we have negative ego. The idea is not to let go of all ego, because that's impossible. Because at the core of our being, our ego is who we are, is our idea, our identity. Without it, we wouldn't have an embodied experience into one. We wouldn't have reflections through other people. So ego is not something negative by itself. No, it's the way life was structured by God, and it was made perfect, to be perfect. And the issue here is the negative ego, the part of you that in a way thinks you are not enough, thinks that you are not worthy, thinks that in a way you are lesser than you are. How you deal with that is just look at the illusion, understand that you are a son of God, that God created you. Okay, your parents made you, but God is truly the architect here. Creation itself is not your parents who made you the hands, right? I mean, they just had intercourse and, you know, there are some things that you took from them, but in a way, the creator itself made you. And realize that the infinite creator doesn't do mistakes. I mean, it made who you are without doing a mistake. You may think that, okay, I'm imperfect, but you are perfectly imperfect. You are different. You are unique. You are worthy of existing. uncover your gifts, uncover your preferences, and you will see how perfect you truly are. Be more of who you prefer to be, and you will see more and more perfection in who you are. But also realize humbleness is important. What is arrogance truly? It's not truly believing you are who you are, yet trying to show that you are to others. That is arrogance. It's actually lack of true confidence. Just a bad habit that you can change. It's much more useful to stay humble, to be humble, because the universe and people can never cease to surprise you. Well, I think you know it all when you don't. You are learning every day. You discover something new. Why limit yourself to not receiving more knowledge, to not receiving more wisdom, to not receiving maybe more opportunity, to not be perceived much better by others, liked by others more? Why not? Why not benefit of that? Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And I have another question. So can our ego, or let's say arrogance, be helpful for us in any situation? Like, is known the fact that when people enter like a designer store, the ruder or the more arrogant the sales assistants are to the people, the people will buy, the more money they will spend. Can we use something like this in our lives?
Well, in a way, maybe arrogance is better than shame or misery. So it is, in a way, being overconfident, which is not good, because in a way, overconfidence is force, is using force. When you want to be using clarity, when you want to allow things. And sometimes, yes, there are some people that are vulnerable to that. I mean, they see someone else being arrogant and they believe, okay, this is a master, this is someone who knows, this is an authority, this is an expert, and they could be, so to say, dominated by that person. But I don't think it's the best way. Maybe there are some examples when it could work, but if you think about a long-term winning relationship, that doesn't really work. And if you go in stores, you know, like the best designers, they train those people to not be arrogant. Of course, they have dignity, or in the best restaurants, they in the world. I mean, those people that are of service there, they're not arrogant. They have dignity, which is something else, but they are very nice. They're very polite. They are willing to help. They give sound advice. So I wouldn't generalize. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Maybe you have more questions?
I have a question about blaming other people. So how do I let go of blaming other people for my own suffering?
Who is it truly that creates your suffering? Is it you or other people?
Well, I think it's me, but it's still difficult to not blame other people. So instinctually, at least that's what I do.
That's a scapegoat, you know. We blame others not to blame ourselves. But why blame ourselves when we can actually grow, when we can actually learn? Blaming doesn't really work. Never works. So in a way, it's an inefficient manner of dealing with issues. And the energy, the vibration is not very good. I mean, it's one of guilt. It's one of shame. It's one of negativity. So yeah, the reflection will not be something amazing. It's probably something that you don't prefer. Why not accept that there are some attachments that you have when it comes to things, and take responsibility for that? I mean, it's much more empowering. It's much more useful, because you can eventually change, and you can eventually no longer need to blame, because you don't have the negative experience that you started blaming for in the first place. You can remove the experience in total. I mean, if you can give me an example, I can show you how.
I don't know. Let's say we are doing a group project at school. That's the first thing that came to mind. And someone doesn't do their job and we get a smaller grade and then we blame them for our own small grade. Get what I mean?
Well, you can take responsibility for yourself, but you cannot take responsibility for others. If you are in a team that is losing, just deal with that. I mean, it is what it is. Don't blame yourself for others. Do what you can do to assist them, to help them. But in the end, if you are dealt with a team that contains some members that eventually, you know, are losing, it's not your fault. Why blame others? Why blame yourself? I mean, it's who they are. If you communicate, look, we can win this if you want, and you still don't do it, it's not your fault. And, you know, my view, school is not that important anyways. I mean, it's useful in some ways, but even more and more success advisors are saying that school is not, it's not amazing, but helping you succeed in life. And when you learn to win, you also want to learn how to lose. You lose with grace. There is a tomorrow. This was the best effort. No one is always winning all the time. No one. Michael Jordan made mistakes, and he is considered to be the best basketball player of all time. And all sports people, right? The greatest one. They had a lot of losses as well. Learn to accept losing with grace, and you become more of a winner. Does that answer your question?
It does, yeah. Thank you.
Also, some more information is coming, some more inspiration. Choose your battles. Win at what is really important. Don't feel the need to have it all. Feel the need to be the winner in everything, because that's, in a way, stupid. Win the important battles. That's why I'm saying to act on your highest excitement. That's the most important battle. You'll be not any other things, but who cares if you are acting on your highest excitement? Who cares about anything else? Don't you want to win at the highest excitement? Isn't that the most important? I'm asking you.
Yeah, definitely.
So who cares about some other stuff? Let go. Make sense?
Yeah, I guess you just need to put things into perspective. Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, please.
So some people are happy with their current situation, even though it's not the best they could do. And they know that something needs to change to achieve their highest potential, but they are not ready to do something. How can they get out of this state of self-sufficiency and go on to achieve higher goals?
So you said that some people are current with their own situation?
Are happy with their current situation, but they are aware of the fact that it's not the best that they could do.
Well, what is more important? I mean, if they're happy with what they have, that's perfect. If they want more and they become unhappy because they don't receive what they want, then it's another issue. But if they're already happy, I don't see an issue with that. So what is truly the situation? Because some people will say, we are happy, we are happy, we are happy. However, maybe they are not really happy because they miss on some of the things. So first would be objectivity. First would be to accept the truth. What is the truth? What is honest? It's very, very hard to deal with people who are in denial, because you say one thing and then they just deny it. I mean, it's a losing way to deal with things. I don't really want to deal with that, to be honest. I don't want to insist. If they accept the fact that they want something, and they also understand that they can get it, maybe then they can move into excitement and not just apathy or something. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
If you want, we can dwell upon this. We can you can add further information and I can add further information. If not, we can move on to other questions.
I was thinking about people that they earn a, let's say, a decent amount of money. They're happy with their family, but there are things that they could do to achieve a higher state of, I don't know how to say it. To achieve more in life, they can achieve more in life, but they are happy with the current situation and they are scared to do something in that direction.
The best way to influence others is to be an example yourself, because you cannot really change others. They have their own free will, they have their own life, and in a way, everyone is living in its own parallel reality. From a mechanical standpoint, this is physics. So yes, we are co-creating. Yes, we are playing the game of life where on a higher level, we have agreed to have certain rules. But in this life by itself, you cannot really change other people. You can show them the path. You can help them with information, but they have to choose to change themselves. If they see change, you know, there is a belief, sometimes common, look, you've changed, as if change was not good. You know, what can you do with that? You can say, okay, but we are always changing. Don't you want to evolve? Don't you want to grow? If they deny that, if they reject that, what can you do? In psychology, there is a great amount of literature dealing with the savior problem, like when you try to save others. That's usually a waste of time. If you want to save somebody, save yourself first and foremost. Or help those who are asking for help. Don't try to force help on others, because you lose time, you lose energy, you lose focus. And many more times, you'll actually get to steal some of the negative beliefs. You'll get to be influenced by some of the negative emotions that they're having. Don't insist. Don't insist. Allow what is to be what is. Look within at your own vibration. Let go of your attachments. And the reflection of reality will slowly change. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, please.
Well, I kind of have a sort of a follow-up question to Andre's question. How do we deal with our underlying fear of the unknown?
By realizing that the only thing we will discover in the unknown is more of ourselves. By having clarity in that. Because everything is made within our consciousness. We are the consciousness. We are existence itself. That's the core function, to be, to exist. I am that I am. Everything that is one with us. It's a part of us. It's who we are, one with God. And God is made of light, is light itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Any more questions? Perhaps dealing with more beliefs and enlightenment of the unconscious mind, let go of negative beliefs, dealing with ego.
How to manage ego issues in a relationship, both romantic and in business?
Can you give me an example?
Like how to get over the fact that you might be wrong and accept the opinion of the other.
Well, actually, this is a level of maturity. If you know you might be wrong and you insist on being right, just because you want to be right with the other person, what's your level of maturity here? Would you like when the other person would be doing that to you? What's the level of respect? In relationships, we also receive a reflection of who you are. If you learn how to respect yourself and learn how to respect others, guess what? You'll receive partner or partners in your love life matching to your vibration. You may believe that you are not receiving perfect partners, but God doesn't do mistakes. Life doesn't happen to you. Life happens for you. It's an experience. It's a reflection. In a way, you can use life, and that's the purpose, to grow yourself on the other side and more. So look in your heart. What is more important? To insist that you are right, knowing you are wrong, to just impose more authority over the other person? Is that something that you think is something that a loving person would do? Not really. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Kindness is very important. How kind are you with the other? I'm not saying to deceive truth because of kindness. But you can tell the truth in a kind way. You can be kind and tell the truth because, you know, truth is light. Truth is love. It's not interchangeable. When I'm saying truth, I'm saying ultimate truth. I'm not saying your perspective that is subjective. Truth is love. Love is truth. Truth is light. Light is truth. Be kind and with truth and with love, and you will have a much better result. Hope this helps. More questions, please.
After we achieve something great in our life, how can we in our future detach from that and continue making even greater things? Like, I have an example, Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. When he was a kid, he was the greatest star of his generation, let's say. And after that, he never managed to do anything bigger than that. Same things can be found in everyday life, but how can we prevent this from happening to us?
Objectively saying, he actually had a pretty poor life after that, right? I mean, he went into drugs, into addiction, right? He had a pretty difficult life in many regards. So, yeah, there was a quote, I believe, from Dalai Lama, who was saying, sometimes not getting what you want is a wonderful stroke of luck. So many people rush into saying, I want this, and this will make me happy. But they don't know better. Because happiness comes from within, doesn't come from objects, doesn't come from controlling people. I mean, in the past, we had slaves. It's not like the owners, so to say, of the slaves were actually happy people. That doesn't work. Happiness comes from within. The way to happiness is through inner peace. Just wanting more and more and more and more and more will never lead to peace. And that's the paradox. When we get to inner peace, we are on the way of receiving everything we want. But our wants will change. You'll not want some more flashy things. You'll not want some more to receive the approval of others, because you have enough approval within yourself. You'll not need so more to receive the love of others, because you'll already love yourself. I mean, it's great. I mean, you'll enjoy it, but you will not necessarily need it so much. You love yourself. You are already in love. Great. Does that make sense? And the funny part, the irony, is that you'll receive more and more love, actually, from others as well. As a reflection, I mean, it's great. I'm not complaining, but it's true. But the within is much more important than the reflection. The smile you put in the mirror creates the mirror image of the smile, not the other way around. So what is more important? Does it make sense? Andrei, does it make sense?
Yeah, sorry. My connection is bad and I didn't get the last part.
I was saying that people look too much to find emotions, to find positive emotions, because even people that go into addictions, right? I mean, you see many cases of people who become successful, become famous, and they get into drugs, they get into alcohol. Why do they do this? Because they want better emotions. They want to feel better. That's the only reason. That's why they take Xanax and other pills. And a big part of the American society takes those kind of pills. They go to psychologists, psychiatrists. They take pills. Why? What is the reason? To feel bad. But those emotions you can only find from within in a long-term, lasting fashion. And people falsely believe that by pursuing things, some things, they will actually receive those emotions. Not how it works. Do you have any more to ask or to add to this? Or I answered your question?
No, you've answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. More questions, please.
What if the beliefs of other people, so for instance, our parents, hurt us? How do we detach ourselves from their opinions?
Look at father and mother as you look at friends. Because in a way, there are some parents who have this thing, I made you, I killed you, I can kill you, something like that, right? I mean, you heard about this, especially in Romanian culture. I am the one who made you, I will kill you. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes there is a situation like that. So look at them as friends, that they helped you. I mean, appreciate what they've done for you. Appreciate that you have genetical code from them within you. But also understand that this life is just a small phase in the path of your higher self, which is spirit. You had many other lives. You had many other parents. So look at them with compassion, with respect, because they are your parents. I mean, you cannot change that in this life. And be like with a friend that will not go away in a way, because you don't want them to go away, no matter how bad your parents were. They're still your parents. This life gave them to you. Respect them, love them as much as you can, but don't be influenced by them in a way where you betray yourself. Because the highest betrayal is self-betrayal. Be true to yourself. You can communicate with them. Look, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. Ask them, do you want me to be happy? Then allow me to be happy. Ask them, did God give us free will? Okay, I have my own free will gave by God. Do you believe in God or not? These are some situations to assist, maybe. Sometimes I'm having some small difficulties with my parents, myself. But one good way is to have humor, is to laugh. Because eventually you will go on the other side and you are friends with them. So laugh. My mother asked me, have you eat today? Have you la la la? Have you la la la? Yes, 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 yes. I'm making fun with her. That's it. My father, how is business going? How is la la la? Okay, it's going well. You never asked me when I was making even more money than now. That's what I'm saying to him. So have a laugh with them. There are good people in most of the cases that are well-intentioned, but understand that they don't know any better themselves. Don't make it more dramatic than it is, actually. Because in most cases that I'm aware of, parents love you in their own way. They want you to be good. It's just that they don't know the best ways themselves as well. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Thank you.
More questions, please.
All right. Since we're at the topic of parenting, I was wondering if we can teach some of the methods you taught us along this whole webinar to our children to help them live a happier life than we did.
Well, you can show them. You can give them the product. Do you like it? You don't like it? Like I said, don't insist upon changing other people. Even if they are your parents, even if they are your children. In a way, if you truly love them, you allow them to be themselves. I can give you an example. With my parents, I was telling them about healthier foods, because I mean they still have some health issues, like most people that are in a mature state, so to say. They are in their 60s, so they have some difficulty with illness. Not big ones, but they still have some small troubles. And I showed them, like, look, this is the, I gave them the books that were very, very good. I gave them some spiritual books. I gave it to them. I said, this is very, very good. I asked them, have you read it? Have you tried it? What do you thought? But I don't really insist so much, because in a way, when you insist, you put more pressure. Allow them, nurture them. It's like putting more water on the tree than it needs. You'll end up doing something not very good, not being your first intention. Even with our children, I mean, if you truly love them, you teach them how to have self-esteem, how to respect, how to learn to be compassionate. But you allow them also to do in life what they prefer to do, to be who they truly are. That's how you would like it, right or no?
Yeah, definitely. But I was just thinking, like, younger children, when they're still in their learning phase, definitely not teenagers. Just visualization and manifestation and meditation, should we teach these things to kids too? Would it be helpful for them?
You can recommend the product. Recommend the product. But don't insist on it. If they like it, they will search for more, they'll ask for more. If they don't like it, doesn't really attract them. Give them free will. So the point is to not insist. That's the point. Because insistence creates pressure that it's out of balance with love. Because love is allowing, love is unconditional. Giving them love is much more important than giving them, so to say, instructions, if it makes sense. What would you prefer from your parents? To give you love or to give you instructions? That are good, but instructions. Give them information is something else. I mean, when they have a question, look, you give them insight. But when you are of controlling nature, that is out of balance with love. Love is in allowing. Someone say, wants to jump. Okay, if it doesn't do anything bad for somebody else, okay, you can jump. Somebody wants to sing. Okay, you can sing, if it makes sense. Don't try to control. It's not nice. Is that helpful?
I think it is, yeah. Thank you. Another question, let me see. We often feel unworthy or self-conscious with ourselves because of past mistakes that we cannot stop obsessing over. How can we truly forgive ourselves?
Be in the present. Fully accept who you are, love who you are. And by definition, when you love who you are, forgiveness is just a part of the process. It's just, you know, like you forgive yourself, you accept yourself. That's it. Love yourself. So it's not something that you have to do repeatedly. No, you have to do it once. And that's it. Don't insist on that. Focus on loving yourself, on appreciating who you are, accepting who you are with truth. Truth is a key piece. Kindness is a key piece. Respect is a key piece. Respect yourself. Make sense?
Yeah.
More questions, please.
I know that a lot of people deal with blocked memories or traumas that keep them from living their life at their fullest potential. Can working with the subconscious and enlightening the subconscious help with those memories, uncover them, and maybe set them free, I guess?
It's all about the present. Work with the present moment if you want effectiveness. So if it's something that is affecting your present, observe it. Be aware. Look at the emotion. Look at the belief. Analyze that. Because there may be some people that are carrying beliefs like, I have AD&D. I remember reading that the inventor of AD&D before he died, he said it's something false, it doesn't exist. So in some cases, people just carry some beliefs that they are sick, and that's the problem. I talked about health. I talked about nutrition. Deal with nutrition. Deal with water, because yeah, there are some people who may have some heavy metals, who may have some toxicity, some infections. So yeah, deal with that and realize that your body is supporting you, is your greatest tool you have in this life by far. Respect your body, respect your mind, respect your soul, and understand that by being in the present, you can actually fix anything, because all there is in the present and you are fully empowered. But become aware, become responsible, and respond in a proper manner. Look at emotions, allow them to give you hidden limiting beliefs you may have, and observe them. Seek the ultimate truth. Give yourself great nutrition. Give yourself liquids like water with lemon, like celery juice, that are of great help. And you can heal anything, including traumas, including emotions, any illness, any sickness, anything. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little more about methods of enlightening the subconscious. So you talked about meditation and mantras. What do you think about visualization? Can we use visualization for this purpose?
There could be some methods of visualization that can help. However, I think the greatest tool is actually observing, is actually awareness. Because by definitions, is you don't know what you don't know. So you cannot visualize something that you already not know. However, by absorbing more and more of the inside, you will enlighten it. And you will get to new areas where there is some so-called shadow, and you enlighten that, and you will get to some more shadow, and you enlighten that until you are fully enlightened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So our ultimate tool is observation.
Yeah, because God is the ultimate observer. And there is no greater force than God, which is the name for all that is being one. Make sense?
Yeah, thank you. I read that sensory deprivation tanks can help get in touch with your subconscious and feel happier and at peace. Do you think that's true? And if so, why do you think it works like that?
Sensory deprivation what?
Tanks, like filled with water, where you don't see anything or hear or smell, if I'm correct.
Filled with water, sorry?
Yeah, so basically you sit in a tank, like a bathtub maybe, filled with water at your temperature, at your body's temperature, and you don't see anything, you don't hear anything, you don't smell anything, and you know, your senses are muted, so to say.
There are many techniques, there are many methods. But ultimately, what determines how they work is your belief in them to work or not for you. It's like with placebo and nocebo. So in a way, these are called permission slips, because they are tools to help you with your beliefs. The same is with the sugar pill, right? I mean, you know about the case where you take a sugar pill and you believe this will heal you. It will heal you. You can exchange the sugar pill with basically anything. Ultimately, is your beliefs, is what you believe to be true. Most effectively is to work with that directly. Observe, believe your body is healing each and because that's the function, that's how it was built, to be healthy. Believe that the food is healing each and every second, because yeah, it's true. It contains a lot of vitamins, it contains a lot of nutritional parts that we actually need to function well and to be healthy. Believe in the water you drink. Believe that your breath, when it is long and soft, is assisting us, is giving us energy. If you believe that, don't really need more else, much more. Work with emotions. Emotions are important. I mean, we know that stress causes illness. That is the belief. And it's true. I mean, if you hold for a long time negative emotions, it's much easier in getting to a state where you have a disease. Work on that emotion. Work on the anxiety, work on the worrying, work on all the negativity. Observe it, accept it, let go of it, seek a higher truth, grow into a higher truth, realize that you are already that, but you are playing masks within yourselves, playing hide and seek. So yeah, I mean, if you have a tool and it's something that attracts you, something that you believe in, use it. However, ultimately, it is your belief that determines your health, your core belief. Are you healing or not? Are you healthy or not? You can use a sugar pill, no problem, if that helps your belief, but your belief, it is that matters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. Thank you. My last question is about unhealthy coping mechanisms. I think that many of our negative beliefs, especially about ourselves, create these unhealthy coping mechanisms. So will letting go of the belief and working on our subconscious will that help us get rid of these mechanisms?
Letting go of the belief in what situation? I'm not sure I follow your question.
Yeah, I think it's a little it's a little wordy, so excuse me for a second. All right, so maybe I'll go with an example. So let's say my negative belief is that I don't think I'm interesting. So because of that, I have the coping mechanism that I don't talk when I'm with people. So how do I heal that, both these things, I guess?
Well, are you excited about communicating?
I think so. More? I think everybody is.
Not everybody is. There are some people that are excited about listening. Don't generalize.
All right, yeah, that's true.
So if you are excited, do it. Do it. I mean, you may have some resistance inside, but, you know, observe it. Get more power over it. It's like building a muscle. Just start doing it. Like, you know, like in the famous slogan, just do it. Just do it. If you are excited by it, do it. And see what happens. Observe. Allow. If that's your excitement. Because it's important to act on the excitement. Not just get excited and that's it. Act on it. Do the things that you want to do within that area of excitement. Otherwise, you don't fully smile. Even smiling contains an action. Smile contains the doing part. Not only think about it, do it. Meditation contains an action. Meditate, act. You act on it consciously. You stay still. You observe. There is doing. Make sense? So just don't expect things to happen because you have the inner smile and that's it in the mirror. Have the physical smile and then the reflection will follow. Make sense?
Yeah, Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Acting is the last part of the manifestation formula. With acting, you ground that energy. You complete the circle. You complete the process. It's when you plant the seed that will grow. Cool. More questions?
Well, for now, I cannot think about anything else. If you'd like to emphasize on something else, please do.
I already gave the exercise in the beginning, so I will not repeat that. I want to emphasize that, in a way, changing your beliefs will determine in a very deep and profound way how your life will change. So don't underestimate that. Think about placebo. Think about nocebo. It is not something that works only within that spectrum. It is the general rule. Your beliefs create your reality. This is just something that cannot be denied. It was observed. Even pharmaceutical companies that sometimes have different interests have to accept that. So understand that it works like that for anything and everything. When you have a belief, when you have a core definition that something is not good for you, guess what? The reflection will not be good for you. When you have a definition that something is good for you, guess what? It will be good for you. If you think you can or you think you can't, you are right. So don't underestimate your definitions. Don't underestimate your thoughts. They are part of your core vibration, of your core identity, who gets to experience its own reflection. Is the manifestation process. I hope that this was one of the best courses, if not the best, that you received in manifestation. And this will allow for further products and programs and questions and more help to allow as many people as possible who are exciting about taking charge, taking control of creating their own life to do that. I'm very, very happy that I created this. Even on ayahuasca, I had the inspiration that I want to create a spiritual product, and I was in a very high vibration back then, and I had that inspiration. I'm in a very high vibration usually right now, and I'm excited about this. So I'm waiting for your feedback. I'm waiting for getting in touch with me, with my... And of course, I'm very, very exciting. I'm very excited about seeing how this helps you, how this helps you achieve what you want, how it helps you to take control of your life, how it helps you to go more and more toward light. I wish you unconditional love and all the best. Take care and bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's it. Anything else you want to add?
No. Thank you for your words. I think our listeners have a lot of things to learn from you, and I hope the same things as you, that they find their happiness through this course. Thank you.